What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producer's Corner with Spud 2 Titan. I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a producer, singer, and songwriter who recently signed with Disturbing the Peace Records and is currently working on a brand new, highly anticipated project. Please put your hands together and welcome producer, singer, songwriter, and musician, Rudy Kearns.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh, Rudy, appreciate it, man. Thank you. Man, yeah. You got a lot of things on the fire, man. You got 2010, you signed with Disturbing the Peace. For those of you who don't know, Disturbing the Peace is Ludacris' label. So he's big time right now.
I'm just excited, man. This is an opportunity. Started out as an indie artist, so we released two CDs independently, Mike Check Entertainment, and Mike Check is still affiliated with Disturbing the Peace, DTP. And we're actually in the process of working some things out over at Def Jam. So I'm looking forward to releasing a major label project, hopefully this summer.
Man, that is phenomenal, man. Congratulations to you on that, Rudy.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
But, you know, before emerging as an artist, man, you've established yourself as a songwriter, man. You work with Maya. You work with Ray J. I mean, what steps did you take to position yourself to write for these artists, man?
A lot of it is, you know, being around great writers and producers who can kind of show you, you know, because I think that I came into the game kind of green with fresh, you know, raw talent. And I learned a lot, just the circles that I was running in. But a lot of it, too, was just being in the right place at the right time. And that's how those placements came about. At the time, I was working with the production team who were getting a lot of major label placements. And they were currently working on Maya's project. So I met her, built a relationship with her. She enjoyed my talent and my writing, and we got in, and I got two songs placed. And around the same time, was able to get a song that I did, wrote and recorded as an artist, placed in the Bourne Identity movie starring Matt Damon. The song was titled Believe Me. And then, of course, I went on to write, you know, some other stuff, songs that got placed in, like, Old Navy and, just, you know, various retailers. And then the Ray J single, Let's Play House, so.
Man, that's phenomenal. Congratulations again to that success.
You
know,
you've
established yourself as a songwriter, and you're merging into as an artist, producer, and you're a phenomenal musician. What would you define your sound as? I mean, everyone I feel that has a sonic signature as a producer, musician, I mean, that really stands out and separates yourself amongst your peers. Define the Rudy Kearns sound for me.
Definitely, my voice is soulful. My father's a pastor, so I grew up, you know, heavily rooted in gospel music, but he's also a musician. So we grew up listening to just pretty much great singer-songwriters in every genre, from, you know, Motown and then Michael Jackson and Prince. My dad's a huge Prince fan, and then I'm a huge fan of Michael, and then the Clark Sisters, and which is gospel again, and the Carpenters and the Bee Gees. I mean, the list just goes on. So I think my sound is really like a melting pot of all of the musical influences that I've always, you know, grew up on, and something that's just, you know, almost like everyday to me. So, you know, my musical experience is not so much what's going on right now, but really I feel like music tends to recycle itself, and everything that's being done now has already been done before. So I pull inspirations from, you know, even back to classical music, you know, because I grew up taking classical piano lessons. So if I had to define my sound, I would say that it's something that is innovative, but still familiar and familiar, you know, and relatable to people, but definitely just good music, you know?
No, I totally agree with you, man. You know, I've talked on other shows, among other views, man. I'm a huge fan of music as a musician, and, you know, for me as a musician, man, I always have my top five that I always talk about. My first being Teddy Riley. I mean, he's just like my Obi-Wan Kenobi for music production, the guy who just really opened the door for me, really gave me that gateway to get into production. Quincy Jones, Stevie Wonder, George Duke, and Prince. You know, those guys, man, those are really like my top five, man. So I totally understand, you know, when you're merging from different genres together, it's like definitely don't want to box yourself into one particular style of music. You know, even from a musician standpoint, if you listen to R&B pretty much your whole entire career as a musician, yeah, I mean, you'll be great, but I just think your ear is not going to be as tuned for other arrangements and chord progressions and just the whole feel if you don't really branch outside that genre. So yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I definitely try to live my life outside the box, and I try my best not to follow trends but to set trends. So I want to be the dude that everybody's aspiring to be like one day, just like I aspire to be like, say, Donny Hathaway or Stevie Wonder. And you mentioned Quincy Jones. I had the privilege of actually meeting him and having a meeting in his home out in L.A. Through Disturbing the Peace, which was phenomenal.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
So, I mean, and then I got to actually see him again this past December out in D.C. Ludacris has a foundation, and he does a foundation dinner annually, and they were honoring Quincy Jones because he's one of Ludacris' mentors. So I sung a tribute to him, and he's just a walking encyclopedia, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, totally.
He just knows so much, and he's so wise, so...
No, totally, man. Like I said, Quincy, man, for me, he's the father of all production. I mean, again, he's another producer who stepped outside of R&B and did pop, did classical. I mean, he's done it all. Bebop, he's done it all. So his ear is just so finely tuned, man. Just like I said, he's a walking jukebox. You know what
yeah,
I mean? There's not
yeah.
a composition or arrangement that he can't handle, that he hasn't thought of or put together. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
You know, Rudy, I know that you're a college graduate with a major in music, man. I mean, is that for voice, or did you, was that for piano or guitar?
I studied voice and piano performance, actually. So
wow.
I was on scholarship for both. And I actually, I was playing the trumpet my freshman year, so I was doing voice, piano, and trumpet. And it just was so hectic because I was still doing my recording career simultaneously. So I fell back with the trumpet, but I'm trying to get back into that, too.
Now, that's what's up, man. You know, I always tell people, it's like, man, you know, education for music is going to be one of the bare essential tools that you'll need. I mean, because a lot of times, you know, coming into the music, a lot of people don't have the ear or the ability to pick up music as fast, you know. So I just feel like having that education, having that mentorship under a great instructor and teacher, man, just takes you a long way. And even if you're a seasoned musician, I'm sure there's something that you'll be able to pick up and add that to your arsenal as well as a player. That's just fun.
Yeah, definitely. I try to learn something everywhere I go. I guess in life, you know, just a theme for me is just like you always want to be growing and learning. I always want to be a student of the game. I don't ever want to get to the place where I feel like, you know, I know it all. To me, it also relates to, you know, there again, my background growing up playing it and singing in church, and my parents instilling in me humility, man. You got to always be humble. And to me, a humble spirit will always, you know, go a long way. And also, you can learn so much more when you approach something from that aspect versus coming in like, yo, you know, I've been playing the piano all my life and you can't tell me anything about the piano. Actually, you can tell me something, you know, because you might come from a whole different school of thought than me.
Really? No, I agree, man. I think a lot of guys who come in and really know anything, I was like, man, you don't know anything if you feel you know everything. You haven't learned a whole lot then. You know,
yeah.
I just feel like, you know, the music game, even on the technical side, technology side of music, and as a craft or learning the musicianship behind an instrument, I mean, it's just endless years of practice and just grooming yourself to be at an exceptional level of a player. You know, I look at all the great players, a lot of guys older than me, George
yeah.
Duke, Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea. I mean, these guys are legends. I mean, these guys are the masters. And a lot of it, too, is just because of the age. They've been playing for so long. They've heard so many different arrangements and chord progressions that you being young may not have been exposed to that style of music yet. You know what I mean? So you're not going to know out of your head to go there. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I talked earlier, man, you're using Pro Tools as your DAW format for recording and tracking. How's that been working for you?
It's been going good, man. I got into Pro Tools right before my second album came out, Here With You. And so, I mean, I literally recorded pretty much, you know, I tracked a lot of the instrumental tracks and then recorded a lot of the vocals, you know, right in my home studio. And then I exported that stuff and took it to a professional studio and had, you know, had the stuff mixed, and then took it to a mastering house and had it mastered. So
nice.
It worked out pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I've been one of the guys, man. I come from an analog days of recording where there was no existence of DAWs. I mean, I was just like, man, that's unheard of. You know, because everything was on tape. And then eventually we started getting into the ADATs and the Tascam D88s for recording. And when, you know, DAW came into place, man, and Pro Tools, Cubase, and eMagic, which is now Logic Pro, I mean, these guys started to come around. And yeah, man, it's just the whole world of recording and tracking has changed so much these days. And, you know, I just like to talk to other producers and see what their rigs are, see what they're running. Now, are you a live instrument player, or do you like using a lot of synthesizers and VSTs in your Pro Tools rig?
Man, to be honest, I like it all, and I have to catch myself because, you know, I have so much stuff running through my head creatively. So, you know, I could easily end up with hundreds of tracks per song, and, you know, you want to make stuff that's going to be digestible because at the end of the day, my purpose as a singer-songwriter and as an artist, you know, is to give back the gift of music and uplift people. So you want to make something that not only musicians can get and understand, but something that everybody can get. But I definitely love live instrumentation as well as synth, and the new album that we're working on is titled Black Keys and Blue Skies. And I want to make sure I have a really happy marriage of the two, live instrumentation and synth instruments working together to make like just new, innovative, just crazy new sound that I'm excited about.
No, that's what's up right there, man. You know, what's cool for me, man, when I listen to synthesizers and even a lot of the new Ropplers that are coming out with sampled acoustic sounds into it, man, it just, when I hear a sound, I get inspired. You know, when I listen to a rack mount, you know, it's cool to go off the names like, man, Roland makes some great products, Yamaha makes great products. But for me, man, it's just really the patches what I listen to. You know, obviously you got to be at a certain level, you know, of a manufacturer, have great sounds. But for me, I just really pick out maybe one or two sounds out of a module and then I move on to the next. But what was really cool, man, when they started coming out with these soft synths, they started, you know, combining all of these different libraries together. Now I'm finding myself being more virtual on the soft synths, using those more than my hardware synths, man.
Yeah, everybody's been telling me, like, Logic is the truth. And I don't know, you know, if you work in Logic or
I've been using Logic for years.
That's something that's definitely I'm trying to kind of transition into that too, and just learn a lot more about it. And my brother and I, he's a producer as well and a writer. His name's Michael Starr, so everybody be on the lookout for Michael Starr. We work together really well. We're playing and singing together, but we're both in the process of kind of merging Logic and just figuring out a whole different new style of production.
Well, when you're ready to make that move for Logic Pro, holler at me, Rudy.
I will. I got your number. You make sure you answer my calls because I'm going to bug you.
Oh, man, I got you. You know, Rudy, I want to talk also, man. You're in the studio quite a bit and you're working on a new album, and now is the time for me to ask this question. Finding that creative zone, I mean, you have live playing experience and you're in the studio quite a bit. Where do you find that creative zone? Being on stage, vibing off the crowd's energy, or being in a more structured environment like a studio and really focusing on a project?
Man, I come from really almost every angle when I'm writing. Like, I'm so out the box. And I think that, you know, sometimes people are almost like, does he have ADD? Because I just really am, like, scattered my thought patterns. Like, I have a song called Weave Ponytail, for example. And I just wrote a new song called Kelly Stole My Car. You know, and I have songs that are more, you know, straight ahead. Like, I have a song called Cold Hands, Warm Heart. I just always want to, like I said, I believe music recycles itself. So everything that's being done, you know, although I'm putting a new innovative twist on it, is something that was done before, something that inspired that. So I just want to make sure that I always take, you know, timeless concepts like love and heartbreak and life and, you know, all of the different things that we go through in this life, and just put some kind of new twist, fresh approach to it.
Man, that's an excellent concept. Those type of foundations, I mean, those what creates timeless songs, in my opinion. And songs that's going to be here 10, 15, 20 years from now because they have substance and it has something that people can relate to, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when you're creating your tracks, Rudy, is there a specific song structure arrangement that you're tapping into and using more of, or are you kind of sticking to the same basic 8-bar chord, 16 measure?
It really depends. It really depends on what the song is going to be. You know, sometimes the songs can be free-flowing. Sometimes I think they need structure. I think as musicians, sometimes we can go get lost inside of our musicianship and we can just go anywhere, you know, or just, you know, it becomes this maze, and we have to make sure that we discipline ourselves, because there can be beauty in simplicity as well. And especially if you're trying to fit a format, if you're trying to, you know, write a song that's going to be appropriate for radio, then it has to somewhat be formatted and have the A-B, you know, or A-B-C type format, where you have a verse and chorus, or a verse pre-hook type, you know, type situation. Because that's what they can get, and that's what they can that will fit their format and their playlist.
Definitely. You know, it's kind of hard, man. I mean, you brought that up. Being a musician, like you said, we kind of get lost in a song sometimes, because the musician side of us wants to be able to express ourselves musically. It's like, oh, man, let me throw a solo on top of it. Oh, I need it to go longer. And
yeah,
you end up making no room for the vocalist.
Yeah, so. Right.
No, I hear you there, man. You know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But again, if you stick to the format, know what it is you're writing for, I feel the project kind of just takes a hold of itself at the end of the day anyways, you know, so.
Yeah. And I believe that you'll have, you know, as an artist, I can only speak for myself, but if you have an opportunity on your album, how many, you know, at least 10 to 12 tracks, so you're going to have those records that, you know, the musicians can really dig in and just, you know, and it just feels good, and you can do something that is good for you. But at the same time, I think it's important from the musicians community or standpoint to recognize that when you make music, it's not just, you know, from a selfish place and for me to feel good, although music has always been therapy for me, but it's also meant to be therapy for somebody else. So you want to make it so that they can understand it and grasp it too.
Well said, man. Well put. I agree. You know, man, you know, as a keyboard player, Rudy, man, I'm a huge fan of playing remakes, going back to my old CDs of, you know, like Prince, George Duke, Stevie Wonder, and playing along with them, or maybe doing a remake, man. Is there a song out there that you love to tackle and really make it your own?
You know what? There, man. Don't get me started. There's several songs. But I guess some of the three songs that are sticking out right now, I'd sing Donny Hathaway's song for you. It was actually Leon Russell's song for you, but Donny Hathaway to me made it, like, phenomenal. And that's one of the covers that I do in my shows. But I think a song that would be awesome to cover is Prince's Purple Rain, and then Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
Those are two just crazy, crazy records that I would love to, like, do my way.
It's weird, man. You brought a Queen, man. A lot of cats don't listen to Queen, man. I mean, Queen is, more of a classic rock type of group. I'm huge into classic rock, so.
Yeah.
Their arrangements in Queen, man, they have really big arrangements, a lot of changes, just a lot of dynamics within a song, man. A big library to play around with.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's definitely a challenge, so. It would be fun.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Especially live. Like, live, that would be bananas.
Yeah.
Live,
so. Now, do you travel with a band? Do you have your band that you play with on stage, or is it kind of like
I do?
Okay,
I do. I do both, because I am a musician. I play the keys and guitar. I a lot of times, if I'm going around right now, I'm actually on a pretty extensive college tour. This spring, we have about 40 colleges all over the East Coast and out toward the Midwest. But the college tour has basically been more of an intimate setting, so it's just me on keys. And sometimes guitar, pending if I can, you know, carry all of that with me. But I do travel with a band, and my band is phenomenal. Actually, my MD, Tario, his name is Tario Broom. He actually was one of the finalists on Diddy's Making His Band. So he's an excellent keyboard player, and all of my musicians are awesome. And not just proficiency-wise, but their attitudes and their spirits, they're just great people to work with. And my background singers, too.
Yeah, that makes a difference, man, when everybody's kind of has a good relationship. You know, that energy really makes a difference on stage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been playing as a music director and musician for my church for about 17 years, man. And, you know, having that relationship with your band members really makes a difference when you guys, you know, start tracking and playing in front of an audience. So just reading each other and just knowing that body language and that feel of each other, yeah, makes a difference.
Yeah, I've learned over the years, and I'm really big on that. I honestly would take somebody who is maybe not the better player, but has a better work ethic and attitude than somebody that's just a killer musician, but it's hard to work with.
Because
I think that sometimes one bad apple can spoil the bunch, and you know, you just don't want to be surrounding yourself with any negativity because it starts to influence or affect everybody else in the room, and everybody's vibe starts to change. You know, but when you're kind of like you have that synergy and everybody's on one accord and everybody's just positive and trying to make good music and coming from that angle, like it's just an awesome experience for everybody, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So, man, what's on the musical agenda for 2010, Rudy? I mean, I know you're on the college tour. You're in the midst of an album. Are you doing any writing for any groups, or what you got popping?
Well, right now, I would love to continue to write for other people. Right now, we're kind of focused on completing my project, which is titled, again, the title is Black Keys, Blue Skies. I'm actually in Atlanta right now for the week. I'm so honored to be in the studio with Grammy Award-winning production team, Justice League. We got in yesterday. We're going to be working this week. And then toward the end of the week, I'm going in with another huge, huge producer, Brian Michael Cox. So we're going to be in for a couple days just banging out some records. And again, my brother, Michael Starr, you know, we work together. You know, so that's pretty much what we're working on. We're finishing up the college tour this spring and just recording, trying to finish up this album so that we can get it out and get a single out by the summer.
Nice. Man, that's what's popping right there, Rudy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, man, dude, I appreciate you coming on the show, Rudy. Man, it's been an honor talking to you. Man, I can't wait to see your project and can't wait to get together on Logic, man. We'll hook it up for you.
Definitely, man. Do we have time to maybe tell the people where they can find me?
Oh, you sure can. Have at it.
Man, I just want to, of course, again, thank you, Spud, so much for the opportunity and this platform that you present to, you know, singers, songwriters like myself and producers. But, you know, I'd also like to shout out, of course, my mom, Patricia Kearns. She manages me and Mike Check Entertainment and, you know, all of my DTP, Disturbing the Peace family, Ludacris, who is phenomenal CEO and an amazing artist and lyricist himself. I like to let everybody know that you can find me at RudyKearnsOnline.com, which is my new website that we're about to launch. And then, of course, all the social networks, Twitter, Facebook, Ustream, MySpace, YouTube, everywhere. You can just type in my name, Rudy Kearns, and I should come up. So thanks again, man, for everything. I appreciate you.
Oh, man, you definitely got a spot here at the Producers Corner, Rudy, man. Don't be a stranger, brother.
And I'm going to be calling you about that Logic, too.
Oh, hey, man, I'll be waiting. We'll hook that up, man. You'll like it, man. The merger is real hot. I know you enjoy it, so.
That's what's up.
All right, take it easy, man.
All right.
Peace. And a big shout out to Rudy Kearns for coming on the show, man. Taking the time and chopping it up with me about his new musical endeavors, man, which is phenomenal. You know, he's a talented individual, man. You'll definitely see big things from him in the future, man. I mean, the music that he does, his vocals, it's just on point. And for the remainder of the show, man, I have three tracks I want you to check out, man. It's just, again, really great music, really prolific material, man. I know you're going to enjoy it, and it is from Rudy Kearns. And he does have a MySpace website, and that is myspace.com/ Rudy Kearns Music. And Kearns is spelled C-U-R-R-E-N-C-E. So Rudy Kearns Music. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up as well. And that's www.spud2tightmusic.ning.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast. So if you go to the iTunes store, click on podcast and type in the Producer's Corner, click on my image, and you'll have a list of all of my interviews and past interviews as well. And for questions and suggestions, you can hit my email up at spud2tight@gmail.com. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace. Thank you.
to rub it. Ever since you put me on it, I feel the need to comb it.
Will you split it, baby, split it?
I'm gonna party down the middle.
Oil it, baby, oil it.
I'll even massage your scalp a little. I think I got it. I've got a fetish.
Oh, With you, there's no place I'd rather.